This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Get the service you deserve with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover. Everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Osea. This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. They both come in giftable boxes with savings up to $46 and free shipping for a limited time. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Amore here in Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah. I hope you remember Valentine's Day. Did you remember February 14th?
Of course I remember. What do you think I am? You? By the way, don't forget your anniversary. It's only 8 months away.
So, listen, Don Juan, tell me. What'd you get your lovely wife for Valentine's Day? You didn't get her another dust buster like you did last year.
No. I learned my lesson last year. This year, I went all out.
All out, yeah? What'd you get her?
Shop vac.
She likes that, huh? Shop vac. She's supposed to get the message that you love her because you bought her a shop vac?
It's 5.5 horsepower, man. Oh, you should hear this thing.
Yeah?
The whole neighborhood knows when she's vacuuming.
Well, that way, actually, a shop vac is good because it does liquids.
Everything.
You spill a glass of milk?
Suck it right up. That's right. I lost 3 pairs of gloves already.
So. Excellent. All right, I'm going to give you a quick quiz. Instead of reading a letter, I'll read the letter too. Bowling Green State University, Dr. Jack Minat, a professor of psychology.
Yes.
By the way. Your recent contention that there is a relationship between being a guy and driving in snow is an interesting hypothesis. However, not being psychologists, you may be unaware of the fact that single-item tests are notoriously unreliable. Thus, it is not necessarily the case that someone is a real guy just because he gets into his extended cab, turbocharged Dodge Dakota 4x4 and drives aimlessly around during a blizzard.
Mm-hmm. Looking for light bulbs.
Although I will admit...
Those are hard to find 35 waters.
I will admit that rapid growth of knuckle hair and a sudden craving for bananas do lend some credence to the claim. Nevertheless, if you truly wish to determine whether someone is a real guy, a more psychometrically adequate test is required. Fortunately, just such an instrument has been constructed. Okay, now here we go. This is a long test, but I'll just pick out the couple of questions...
The doozies.
Okay. You've decided you truly love a woman and you want to spend the rest of your life with her, sharing the joys and the sorrows, the triumphs and the tragedies, and all the adventures and opportunities that the world has to offer, come what may.
Shop vac. The answer.
Wait a minute. How do you tell her? A, you take her to a nice restaurant and you tell her after dinner. B, you take her for a walk on a moonlit beach and you say her name, and when she turns to you with the sea breeze blowing her hair and the stars in her eyes, you tell her. C, tell her what? Okay. You've been seeing a woman for several years. She's attractive and intelligent. And you always enjoy being with her. One leisurely Sunday afternoon, the two of you are taking it
easy. Does my wife know about her?
Yeah. You're watching a football game. She's reading the paper. When she suddenly, out of the clear blue sky, tells you she thinks she really loves you, but she can no longer bear the uncertainty of not knowing where your relationship is going.
Uh-huh.
She says she's not asking whether you want to get married, only whether you believe that you have some kind of future together. What do you say? A, that you sincerely believe the two of you do have a future, but you don't want to rush it. B, that although you also have strong feelings for her, you cannot honestly say that you'll be ready anytime soon to make a lasting commitment, and you don't want to hurt her by holding out false hope. C, that you can't believe the Jets called a draw play on 3rd and 17. And here's my favorite. Alien beings from a highly advanced society visit the Earth. Don't forget, this is the guy test. Alien beings from a highly advanced society visit the Earth, and you are the first human they encounter. As a token of intergalactic friendship, they present you with a small but incredibly sophisticated device that is capable of curing all disease, providing an infinite supply of clean energy, wiping out hunger and poverty, and permanently eliminating oppression and violence all over the entire Earth. You decide to A, present it to the President of the United States.
Sounds like a shop vac to me. Go ahead.
B, present it to the Secretary General of the United Nations. Mm. C, take it apart. Now that's the test, man. What the hell could be in here?
Of course. You would have to take it apart.
You'd have to take it apart. Yeah. You'd owe it to society.
That's my motto.
World.
Take everything apart. If you want to call us with a question about your car, our phone number is 1-800-332-9287. We can tell you how to take your car apart. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carrie from Dallas.
Hi, Carrie.
Carrie or Carrie?
Carrie.
Carrie with a K. K-E-R-R-I.
Why?
Why?
Carrie.
Why? From Dallas.
Yes.
Dallas.
what's on your mind?
I'd like you to tell me if I need to replace my tie rod ends.
Sure, go ahead.
You have a Ford Escort.
No, I have a 1954 Chevy station wagon.
54,
really?
Mm-hmm.
54. Boy, a great car.
Is this a covered wagon, or is this... No, huh? Okay. And someone told you need tie rod ends.
Well, when you... let's see, how do I put this? If you try to turn the tie rod in, like if you try to rotate the tie rod, there's a little bit of play in it. And well, there is on the driver's side, on the three-piece tie rod.
So you put the car up on the jack... And you grab onto the tie rod, and you try to swivel it.
You mm-hmm. try to pivot it. For those that don't know, a tie rod is like a little ball and socket joint. And it's part of the steering gear. So one end of this thing ultimately attaches to what's called the steering knuckle. And the other end eventually attaches to the steering box. So that as the box is turned by the steering wheel, the steering knuckles, which the tires are attached to, go left and right.
Right. And the reason it's a ball and socket is because it's going to be able to move up, down, sideways, and around.
Over, and under, around, and through.
Right. Without... Right. Braking.
Right.
And that's not really the right way to check it.
Okay.
The test, actually, is to see if the tie rod end has any axial play.
Yeah, you don't want to know whether or not it rotates like that.
Well, rotating is good. It needs to rotate.
Yeah, that's the good one. But you might have, they might both be bad because they might both be moving in and out. And that's what you don't want them to do.
Okay, so if they move from side to side, like if there's any play side to side, then that's a problem?
That's bad, too, or up and down. In other words, as you push the tie rod up against the point where it attaches to the steering knuckle,
okay?
If there's movement in that ball and socket, then the thing is worn out.
Yeah, the usual way to check them is to jack up the car and sit in front of the tire.
Mm-hmm.
To the side of the tire, rather, and shake the wheel left to right, left and right.
I'll tell you, I do feel hesitant about giving you advice about checking these.
Yeah, because if you haven't done it.
And if you do it wrong.
You'll die.
You could. Can we have the car if you die?
The car won't be worth anything if she dies.
How did you happen upon, forget the tie rod, you're going to take it someplace and have them checked.
You do have to. I would let someone look at them who knows what a bad one looks like. Because
but if I take it to a mechanic, he's going to say they need to be replaced.
Not necessarily.
No.
Isn't there anybody there in Dallas you can trust?
I don't have it in front of me, but recently we received a survey from someone who said that the national survey.
Yeah.
That said that 98% of all the repairs that were done were honest. Were honest.
And that most of the screw-ups were just basically were based on stupidity and not dishonesty.
We did not need a study to ascertain that.
So they will not, you got a 98% chance that whoever you bring it to will not try to sell you tie rod ends that you don't need, but rather...
Steering box. They might try to sell you a steering box. Anyway, how did you get this car and how long have you had it?
I bought it last summer and... I've gotten so frustrated with new cars and the computers and the gadgets and
yeah,
you can't fix them.
That's right.
Oh, I know, but you don't want to be a Luddite. I mean, you don't want to back to, like, my brother drives. You should see the thing he drives. Jeez.
I have to say, though, that the 50s Chevrolets are a good choice because they are pretty reliable.
Well, there is a huge aftermarket of parts available because of their popularity.
Yeah.
And worst comes to worst, when we begin actual diplomatic relationships with Cuba, You can go to Cuba and get parts and enjoy a nice vacation in Havana.
Yeah, and sell your car for about $10,000.
So think of the upside here.
Yeah, but have someone take a look at the tie rod ends and the ball joints while they're at it, because those are things that are too dangerous to mess around with.
Okay.
You got to find someone that you trust.
Okay.
Date the guy for a couple of months, see, until you really develop a relationship, and then let him check.
I'll try that.
Good luck, Carrie.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
See you. Bye-bye.
Don't go anywhere because we've got a lot more calls. Well, a few anyway. And the puzzler answer coming up right after this.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Delta Airlines. When you think about it, half the trips the world takes are trips home, and those at Delta are travelers just like you. That's why they try to make you feel at home long before you even get there.
All right, now I hear through the grapevine that you've been surreptitiously calling the office and asking in a disguised voice, I understand. Something like, excuse me, I'm a listener.
You read it on me, Jennifer.
Can you tell me last week's puzzle? Because I lost the station when I was listening, and I didn't get all the info.
And every time I've done it, Jennifer has said, what do you want, Tommy? I even tried my foreign accent syndrome. Excuse me, please.
That worked on me once. Anyway, Jack Stevens from Edmonds, Washington, sent this in, and it closely mirrors a problem that we faced at the garage recently. And I know you don't remember it.
I honestly don't.
Gave you that in the way of a hint.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't remember it. And I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I'm not ashamed of it.
Really?
I don't remember it.
You're embracing your stupidity?
Embracing my stupidity.
By the way, I wanted to correct you on something because you keep alluding to the fact that I suggested to you that you embrace winter. And that it wouldn't be so unbearable for you. I didn't say that. I said brace for winter.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah, well.
No wonder.
Anyway.
I didn't brace enough.
You didn't brace enough. You weren't sufficiently
braced. I wore my braces.
Anyway, since you've given up on trying to remember the puzzle, I'll just launch right into
it. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll start by giving the clue that everything you need to know is right here, about anything, is right here in the story. Yeah. And here it is. It was a cold and dreary day in Eau Claire, which means Eau Claire.
Eau Claire, by the light.
Eau Claire, chocolate Eau Claire.
By the light.
No, clear water, I believe.
Oh, that Eau Claire.
Yeah, not O-H. Eau Claire.
Oh. No, I thought it was A-U, not E-A.
See?
They pronounce the same way, those crazy French. They have all these words that are pronounced exactly the same way.
That's so foreigners can't learn the language.
Of course we have
that. It could be E-A-U-X. No, but they're worse.
They are worse, yeah.
Yeah.
But we never trusted them anyway. Whose side were they on during the big one, WW2? Were they on our side or the other side?
Half and half. Anyway, it was a cold and dreary day in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, as the young nursing student pulled out of the university parking lot. Her 72 Galaxy 500 was a jalopy for sure, and her father had pop riveted patches over holes in the body and welded the bumper back on and all
brakes,
kinds of...
Brakes! This had to do with brakes.
Yes.
And there was nothing wrong with the brakes.
Very good. Very good. Sure, I'm almost done now. Anyway, it was reliable transportation, and her meager budget wouldn't allow for anything else, obviously. Anyway, she pulls up to a stoplight on her way home, and as she began to slow down and apply the brakes, they lock up. She skids to a stop, and she knows immediately that something's wrong.
Brakes! This has something to do with brakes!
She was obviously shaken up by this, but anyway, proceeded down the road, and the next time she stepped on the brakes, even more slowly and cautiously, I might add, something locks up and the car skids.
Yeah.
So she takes the car to the repair shop, and they take off the wheels, and they check the calipers and the cylinders and the hardware and everything they can find, and they can find no reason why it should be locking up. Everything is working just as it should. However, when they test drive it, of course, it
does the same thing.
Does the same thing. And they check the brake hoses, and they pronounce everything with the brake system to be fine. And in fact, they are correct. Everything with the brake system is fine, and yet the pulling and the grabbing persists. The question very simply was, what was wrong with your car? And the hint I said at the beginning of the hour here.
It was a cold and stormy night.
No, it had nothing to do with it.
It was a damp and dirty night.
It was a 72 Ford Galaxy. It was a junk box.
Oh, that part of it, yeah.
That was the hint.
Am I correct that we encountered this very problem in the garage one
yes,
time?
Yes, we did. Yes. No, in fact, yes, as a matter of fact, I encountered it recently.
Did you?
On an old Dodge Dart that we had in the shop.
Oh.
And what had happened to her car?
Let me just take a guess here. Does it have to do with rust?
Well, yeah, I said it was an old rusty car.
Oh,
yeah, that's
okay.
To do with rust.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The frame had rusted away.
Does it have to do with the frame rusting away?
So that it, by one of the rear wheels. So that, in fact, when she stepped on the brake, the distance between the front wheels and the rear wheels was not remaining constant. One of the rear wheels, or maybe even both of them, was drifting away.
Drifting away from the shore.
From the rest of the car.
Yeah.
Such that it was being restrained, in this case, by some of the
cable.
Suspension components, to be sure, but by the emergency brake cable, which was getting pulled taut and locking up that wheel long before any of the others would lock up with that amount of brake pressure.
And it's a good thing it was, or the rest of the car would have just floated down the street.
With the bumper and everything else. So
yeah.
a rusted car is a dangerous thing.
That's very, very good.
Do we have a winner, Tommy?
No. Okay. I'm glad you asked.
Really?
Our winner this week is Melissa Siders from Kanab.
Very good.
Kanab.
No, Kanab.
Kanab, Utah. And for knowing that answer and being selected at random as our winner this week, you, Melissa Siders of Kanab, Utah, will get a copy of our brand new cassette/CD, The Best of Car Talk, which features, among other Car Talk lowlights. I thought it was highlights. Lowlights, the story of why smokers get into more accidents than non-smokers, and the secret of how many eggs to put in the radiator to stop a car from overheating. Many minutes of exciting listening, and congratulations and happy listening to you, Melissa Siders, Kanab, Utah.
Very good. Now, if your name is not Melissa Siders and you still want a copy of The Best of Car Talk, you can always get one from our Shameless Commerce Division, whose number is 303-595-5905, and we'll give it again at the end of the show. So have your pencil ready that time.
Yeah.
Because you won't get it again. Yeah. Anyway, we have another.
A descriptive adjective coming up here?
Many kids across the country are going to be on vacation soon. Winter vacation.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So I will have a little puzzler for the kiddies.
Oh, this one's coming up is for the kiddies?
Yeah, so Dougie will have a chance.
Good.
Yeah. And
okay.
As always, parents are encouraged to help, you know, like you do with the kids' homework.
Of course, yeah. Write those essays, do those problem sets.
Well, that's the only way you can relearn the stuff that you forgot when you were in fifth, sixth, and seventh grade.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't help your kids, how are you going to learn anything? Now, if you'd like to call us with a question about your car, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Gail.
Gail.
Gail. From?
I'm from Sudbury, Massachusetts.
Sudbury. I've heard of it.
You've never heard of it.
I have heard of it.
You have heard of it.
Of course. Sudbury.
Sure.
Yes.
I've even been there once.
You have?
I was lost. I was on my way to Newton.
Oh, okay. You were lost.
Sudbury. I mean, I have to admit that I don't think I've ever been to Sudbury. And if I have, I've forgotten about it.
It's next to Lincoln.
Well, yeah, it's next to Lincoln.
It's sort of an upscale community. Is that correct?
Yeah, sort of.
That was the town that we
moved here a while ago.
Oh, I know
what
it was. We
drove in and the police escorted us out.
There was a big sign, Riff Raff, keep out.
There you go.
That was it.
There you go.
Yeah, we didn't stay long, but the police were very nice.
They were very nice, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Is it true they have an unlisted phone number there? So what kind of a Mercedes do you drive, Gail?
Yeah, really.
Oh.
Wait till you hear my question.
Okay.
We moved in before that sign was erected. My question is, my husband and I both grew up in Minnesota, and we want to take a trip in April to Minnesota. And
why?
visit family.
Sure.
Why not? And I need to know whether we should take my 1988 Dodge Caravan, which has 100,000 miles on it as of 2 days ago.
100?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what's your husband's car?
So anyway, the question is, should we take that car, or should we take my husband's Saab 900?
What year?
It's a 94. Well, oh. I think of it as a brand new car, of course, but it's really 2 years old. Now the kicker comes in that
you got six kids and
I don't
two
know
dogs.
How to drive a standard car.
Yeah.
The 900 is a standard.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of afraid. I think I would be very good at doing it after I learn, but it's that interim period where I think I'm going to kill myself.
Well, you've got months to learn.
Exactly.
You think so?
Oh, sure. And clutches. And
you've got enough months that you can try it out, wreck the clutch, and have a new clutch put in even before you leave in April.
Well, that's reassuring. But, see, it'd be really nice to go in the van.
It
so
would.
The question is, because there's more room and we have two kids and whatever, so the question is, how do you assess? You know, people always say, well, they're highway miles. They don't really
All miles count. And
that's a lot of highway miles.
It'll be about 3,000 miles round trip, and you know, with traveling in the state. So I want that van to last as long as possible.
And leave it parked.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the fact that it's a 3,000-mile trip. The only relevance of the 3,000-mile trip is that there's just more opportunity for whatever was going to break to break. I mean, it might well be that if you had stayed at home and driven those 3,000 miles, it might take you 3 months to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas now you're going to do it in
3 days.
3 days.
Yeah. And when it breaks, you're going to be far from home.
Yeah.
Which always makes it an unpleasant situation.
Of course, if you've led a good, clean life, then you don't have to worry about these terrible things happening.
This 88 Caravan is a ticking bomb.
Do you think so?
Well,
it's been a great car.
No, it has.
I love to drive it.
With 100,000 miles, any number of things. I mean, I'm not citing this particular. Yes, I am. But any car with 100,000 miles is a ticking bomb.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why when your car gets old, you have to understand its limitations.
Yeah.
And you have to relegate it to
doing what it does best.
In-town use and not long-distance trips. Right. I think you should burn the clutch up.
Schlepping the kids to hockey games.
It's obviously your husband that's lobbying for the caravan use in this trip. He doesn't want you to drive the Saab.
He's very open.
Well, first of all, don't men always do the driving?
No, he's open about it.
Well, we like to drive straight through. So, I mean, like 24 hours and we're there.
Yeah, so it's going to take two.
He can't do all of the 24 hours.
How big are your kids?
They're 7 and 10.
Can the 10-year-old reach the pedals?
Can you teach him to reach the pedals?
the other thing
you might want to think about is to spare the miles on either of these vehicles and rent one.
Rent a brand new caravan. I mean, first of all, yours is ready for the boneyard anyway.
Oh, God.
With 100,000 miles. Well, if nothing else, you must be giving some thought to replacing it. Even though you're expecting it to last more.
She hadn't been until she spoke to you.
I'd like to pay off the Saab first, you see.
Yeah.
Well, eventually you'll pay. In a year or so, you'll pay off the Saab. But wouldn't it be nice to drive you'd never drive this one again if you drove the new one. Yeah. The new caravan's very nice.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
quieter.
In the interest of research.
Yeah.
Handles better. So
that's a good point.
I think if I want to take the trip,
you'd rent, huh?
Bone up on my manual shift driving.
All right.
If I were you, or rent a car that had two airbags.
Okay.
And leave this one at home.
Yeah, I would seriously think about the rental option.
Imagine what would happen. What would you do?
Yeah.
If halfway, or even worse than that, well, anywhere along the trip, the engine blew in the caravan.
Oh, God.
What would you do?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Imagine that. Yeah, it's a lugubrious thought. I know that.
It is lugubrious.
But those things do happen, and the chances of it happening on a vehicle with 100K are much greater than on a Saab, which I imagine has about 20K on it.
That's right.
But rent. It isn't that expensive. You'll get to drive a brand-new vehicle, which probably won't break down, and if it does, you won't care.
That
sound
think this
advice?
Would be the outcome, but I think you probably got a very good point.
Yeah,
well, talk your husband into it.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Sure. Good luck, Gail, and say hello to all the folks in Minnesota for us.
Have a wild trip.
I love your show. Very helpful.
Don't forget the don't forget the sunblock.
Oh, right.
See you, Gail.
All right. Ice block.
Ice block, yeah.
Ice block.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Don't go anywhere. Stick around for more calls and the new puzzler coming right up.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why accessibility is central to Betterment's mission.
The real innovation for Betterment was taking a set of tools that were used by the ultra wealthy and making them accessible to the average investor. And that includes tax strategies, that includes dollar cost averaging. These are all sort of tricks of the trade.
Learn more about automated investing technology at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This message comes from Schwab. It's easy to invest in ideas you believe in with Schwab investing themes, like online music and videos, artificial intelligence, and electric vehicles. Choose from over 40 customizable themes. More at Schwab.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here, of course, to discuss cars, car repair, and quod erat demonstrando, otherwise known as QED.
Well, maybe. You know the puzzle you gave a couple of weeks ago about...
I remember
what
nothing.
What is the name of a car currently in production, sold in the United States, which is plural?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Look at the mail!
Oh, geez.
This mail, of course, all came in after you gave the answer.
Aww.
Now, these, I mean, I don't want to frighten you or anything, but look at the headline on this baby.
Oh, the Latin School of Chicago.
The Latin School of Chicago. I mean, there's no end to the number of people who took issue.
Get the one from the Vatican. I want to order, if you have the address.
Some T-shirts?
No, Pope's open a rope.
No, there are all kinds of issues, and normally in a situation like this, I would attempt...
To defend me?
To distance myself from you immediately.
Oh, really?
Saying it was my brother who did it. Just like you do to me. My brother said that.
Well,
I didn't say that.
If I remember correctly, I did give proper credit
for
the originator of the puzzler, I think.
Yeah, and you want to blame him or her.
Go ahead.
Here's what Hallie Black from the Latin School of Chicago has to say. As you can guess from the address above, I'm a teacher of Latin. I'm also a devoted fan of your show, so imagine my delight...
That's a good start.
When I heard the two of you intelligently discussing the intricacies of Latin declensions.
Oh.
Mirabile dictu. It is obvious that you were no slouches in school. It still sounds pretty good, right? Even my advanced Latin students studying Virgil's Aeneid forget that there is a fifth declension. What fifth declension? Did we say that?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought there were three. But you remember that it has an S in the nominative singular.
Those are the guys that Roy quoted, would you like to fly?
Fifth declensions, right.
Right?
So, much as I hate, here it comes, much as I hate to do this, I must question your answer to the puzzler. If Maxima is a third declension ending, that means Nissan thinks of its car as neuter, in which case Maxima would be a nominative plural ending. I suspect, though, that Nissan thinks of the car as feminine and that Maxima is a first declension nominative singular.
Oh, I don't think so.
Now, that's, you can argue that, but her little note here, I am sending the story of this broadcast to my teacher, Father Reginald Foster, who was, get this for a title, official Latinist at the Vatican.
Dole.
Right? Now, the real issue, and I won't read all these letters, but the real issue is, are the following.
Did we get a letter from Father Reg?
No, not yet. The real issue is this. Maximus is an adjective.
Well, it can be an adjective.
Oh, wait a minute now. It's an adjective. If it's an adjective, it's not the name of a car. That's what all these people have said. Us aum. It's an adjective, and it's not the name of a car. It's describing, it means the biggest, the best, whatever, the most. Now, I'm going to defend you. See, I said I would normally distance myself because I had a little discussion with my Latin expert, Alex, my son. And we discussed this.
You would have called one of your Latin teachers, but they're all what?
They're all
dead.
It's a dead language, and they're all dead, too.
Two of my Latin teachers were dead while I was taking it.
It's the best way to teach a dead language. First of all, he says, yes, it is an adjective, but frequently there is an unspecified noun. For example, it could be maximus, meaning the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's automatic that you just assume that. So even though it is an adjective, it could be a noun.
Yes.
So that's one problem.
Yes.
Several other people said they didn't like any of these words. They wanted to suggest others. For example, someone suggested illumina as the plural of lumen, light. That's wrong.
No.
The plural of lumen is lumines, so he's wrong. However, one of them suggested Navajo. Navajo is singular and plural.
We said that those didn't count. We specifically said you cannot use a word like the Chevy sheep.
Oh, you did say that. Okay,
yes,
that's good. And
so am I off the hook officially?
You're almost off the hook, and I'm going to give you the final blow here.
Coup de grace.
First of all, the other one that I came up with last night when I was researching this was integra, which happens to be the plural of integer. How's that? Integra.
Oh, integer.
Yeah.
I don't.
I knew you'd question me, so I brought what?
The Latin dictionary.
My Cassell's Latin dictionary. Let me look it up for you here. How do you spell it?
I-N-T-E-G-E-R.
I-N-T-E-G-E-R. And what's the plural? G-R-A, the last word on the page. Integra. Isn't that cool? However, I think the final response to this is that if you look up, not in the Latin dictionary, but you look up in the English dictionary, maximum... It's singular, and it's a noun.
Yes.
And the plural is maxima, as every statistician will know.
Yes.
Right?
That's why that was the right answer.
And that's why I didn't distance myself. I'm sticking with you, man!
All right, on that note.
What a firestorm of response and controversy. I couldn't believe all this. Look at them all.
Right. Well, they had to dig up three of those people to get them to write the letters.
Official Latinist at the Vatican.
Latinist. All right, here's
okay,
the new puzzler.
With that introduction, you can dive right into the puzzler, man.
Jeez, I kind of took the wind out of my sails. this is a puzzle I mentioned earlier in the show for children. But adults can certainly participate.
Can attempt it.
And this is to keep them busy for their time while they're on February vacation, if you have one. If not, just don't do your homework and do this instead.
Do this instead.
Imagine you, in fact, this segues so beautifully into this entire discussion of Latin that you will be amazed.
I will, yeah. Imagine
two telephone poles that are, what's a telephone, 50 feet high.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
And a rope that goes from the top of one telephone pole and connects to the top of the other one.
Yeah.
And is 100 feet long. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, as you may know...
I see it. I'm going to look it up right now.
I know. You don't have to look it up.
Because you argued with me about this word one day.
Because a rope that hangs between two points forms a mathematical curve known as a catenary. which comes from the Latin word catena, which means chain.
Excellent.
The question very simply is, what must be the distance between these two telephone poles?
Yeah.
So that the lowest point of the chain just touches the ground.
You didn't tell us how long the chain was.
I said 100 feet.
Oh, 100 feet.
I actually said it was a rope.
Oh, a rope. Okay.
Rope or chain.
So how far apart must the telephone poles be so that
the lowest point.
The rope comes down and just barely scrapes the ground.
Grazes, one might say.
Tangere, you mean? Tangent to the ground? Yeah.
Yes. Now, if you think you know the answer, write that answer on a postcard or the back of a $20 bill.
And if you don't have $20 bills, kids, go into Mummy's pocketbook.
Yes, and get out.
And get out a $20 bill. She won't mind.
Yes, I'm pretty sure those have a picture of Ben Franklin on them.
Yes, and just write on the back of it the answer that you think you have. Or you can, if you can't fit it all on the back of it, just staple your answer to the $20 bill. Cover the whole answer with $20 bills. If she has more than one, take all that she has and mail them to this address.
We're going to go to jail. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Ma 02238. If we choose your answer at random from among all of our correct answers, and we'll know by your handwriting whether or not. If you're more than 12, you can't participate. We'll send you a copy of the best of Car Talk.
So the parents can help the kids, but the kid
has to write
the answer. Actually write the answer in.
Exactly.
And send it in. And don't forget, kids, go into Mummy's pocketbook and get a $20 bill and attach it to your answer, because that'll make you win. That's how you win, kids.
So if you win, we'll send you a Best of Car Talk cassette or CD. And by the way, we strongly recommend the CD because, as Dougie figured out, it's great for keeping your kitchen table from wobbling.
Yeah. Not only that, but you have several ways you can do it.
Yes.
If you leave it in the case, you get a nice, like, quarter-inch high.
Yeah.
For those legs that are really off.
Yeah.
And if it's just... Why don't they make them ramped? That would make
tapered.
Tapered.
Yeah,
then it would be a perfect wedge.
Okie dokie. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Donald from Arlington, Virginia.
Hi, Donald. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, I have three questions. One long and two short.
Yeah.
We've got an 88 Honda Accord LX with 115,000 miles on it. And I'll tell you the color if you get stuck.
Yeah.
I change the oil every 10,000 miles using Mobil 1 and have my Korean mechanic, who I call Kamran Bay, because I can't pronounce his name, do the routine maintenance and tune-ups.
Yeah.
But over the past year, the car has lost power, and its gas mileage has fallen from the low 20s to the mid-teens. Mm. My wife complained, so we went out and bought a 95 Honda, but she wants to keep this one, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, in September, I took it into Kamran Bay for a tune-up. He replaced the spark plugs and wires, the distributor rotor and cap, the PCV valve, the air filter, and one fuel filter, although I think this car's got two.
Yes.
He only uses Honda parts, which is question two. The car then started more easily, and it idled more smoothly, but it still had low power and poor gas mileage.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, now the engine cuts out occasionally. You'll be driving along, and it'll go... It just kind of stutters and completely stops. One day I pulled into a parking space and it died completely.
Yeah.
It seems to happen more often when warm. One more thing. Kamran Bay did not replace the wire from the coil to the distributor. I called Honda and they wanted $22 for it.
Right, it's a separate piece.
Right, and that's when I decided to call Tom El Cheapo and Ray El Smarto, my Yahtzee.
What a combination.
Okay, and the $5 is in the mail.
All right, were the questions embedded in this dissertation?
Yeah, well, I got the, why is it doing what it's doing?
Should he
always use Honda parts? And...
Right. Should I always use Honda parts?
And what the hell is the name of this Korean mechanic?
You don't have to. In fact, on Hondas, we frequently use spark plug wires made by NGK,
okay,
which are very good.
I used non-Honda brake pads one time and doing my front rotors.
Yeah, we don't do
that.
They
didn't fit at all.
Yeah, well, they make noise, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's another question.
The real question is, why is the car losing power?
Right.
It could simply be that the timing is off.
Timing.
Okay,
you would hope that if the guy replaced all the things that you said he replaced, that the timing would have been just the natural thing to do.
He's been pretty good about tune-ups.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
this started after he tuned it up.
It did. Well, it's very possible that he hasn't gone back to recheck the timing, which he set incorrectly the last time it was in.
Okay.
And an improper timing could account for difficult starts and poor mileage. As far as the cutting out...
And bad power.
And low power.
Yeah.
And the loss of running ability, in other words, it's cutting out, could easily be attributed to the fuel pump, which is 118,000 miles old, probably, and could easily be conking out.
Now, and if you have not led a good, clean life.
Or you could have, talking about clean, you could have a dirty rear fuel filter. He probably changed the one under the hood.
Right.
There's one in the back, I believe.
Yeah, I think there's two, because he's changed two before.
Yeah, there's one in the back, and he probably should change that.
Now, can I use Brand X fuel pump?
Can you use Brand X fuel pump? You can, but if you're going to change it, you might as well put a Honda one in there. It's probably not any more expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll fit right.
Okay.
It could also be a restricted catalytic converter.
Yeah, I've heard you guys say that before. Okay.
Yeah, and you got the right number of miles on it for it to possibly be that.
You've got the right number of miles for almost anything to be happening.
Right. Exactly.
Wheels could go flying off tomorrow.
Right.
Well, he's under there. Do everything. Throw an alternator in it. That's easy to get at, too, while he's at it.
Alternator, okay. Yeah.
Do a valve job, too.
Make it an even $1,000.
Right.
Thank you, Donald. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
See Thanks it. For calling.
All right,
bye-bye. Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Boy, those hours fly by, don't they?
Though?
Our esteemed producer is Doug, the Subway Fugitive, Punkin' Lips Bourbon. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Auto Musicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Gonifer. We haven't used that for a long time.
No, we haven't. Gonifer.
Our technical advisor is John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Twinkle Toes, Hula Hips, Donut Breath, Gigabyte, the Snow Blow King, make that two triple cheeseburgers, Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julio Hemingway. Our jazz music coordinator is Bertha DeBlues. Our director of new product repair is Warren T., my foot. Our director of gender studies is Amanda B. Reckoned With.
Well, Warren T., my foot. He's a good guy.
Country music is Stan Byerman. The chairman of our underemployment study group is Art Majors. And our child seat tester is Drew Lee Weiner. Our fleet manager is Oscar De La Rental. Our director of Cadillac steering is too loose to track. Our director of sports information is Linus Scrimmage. Get it, Linus.
I got it.
Linus Pauling.
I'm into sports. You know that.
Oh, we do know. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our producer's office is furnished by Rick Kleiner. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the conoscenti. Is Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Now, if you want to punish your kids by forcing them to listen to Car Talk, especially during vacation, you can get a cassette of this week's show by calling 303-595-5905. Ask for Car Talk. Disciplinary tape number 6.
If they still won't shape up, you can order a CD copy of The Best of Car Talk, which will play over and over again in your CD player until they cry for mercy. I've tried it and it works. The Best of Car Talk is also available by calling 303-595-5905. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although this may sound like CBS during prime time,
it's actually NPR, National Public Radio.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the NPR Wine Club. NPR Wine Club members have contributed over $1.5 million to helping create a more informed public. Be 21. Join the charge at nprwineclub.org/podcast. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little bricks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.